Welcome to the Real Producers Partners Podcast. This podcast is done in conjunction with Real Producers St. Louis, Metro East, New Orleans, Baltimore, Chesapeake Bay, and West Valley, Arizona. It focuses on our top real estate performers and partners who support real estate and home services, their successes, stories, and challenges.
Hello, everyone. This is David Owen with Change Cape Web. Welcome to this episode of the Real Producers Partners Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Angie Dunham. Angie is a principal agent with Compass Real Estate located here in the St. Louis area. Today, we'll learn more about Angie, about her experience in the real estate business, and what makes them unique in the crowded real estate market. Angie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So I have a few questions. Why don't we start with those? And why don't you give us a little history. Tell us about yourself and your team.
Sure. My name is Angie Dunham. I'm a principal agent and team lead with the Upper List at Compass Realty in St. Louis. And we have five on our team right now. We're a growing team, and I'm actually entering my fifth year of real estate.
Wow. So what made you get into real estate?
I was actually working for the world's largest cheerleading company, traveling, and I was doing events. I traveled all over the United States, but I was doing a lot of weekend events, and I was just ready to be home. I was selling during the COVID time. Our events basically came to a halt, and that was kind of it. It was kind of my lead into real estate, and I knew that it was a good opportunity for me to jump in. I had my real estate license for a little bit, wasn't doing much with it, and then that was definitely that break into real estate.
I'm sure it's nice to be at home, even though you're probably busy on the weekends still. You can
Absolutely.
Sleep in your own bed.
You do get to sleep in your own bed. So I have two kids. Been married for 18 years, and I have two kids that are, I have a 14-year-old girl and an 8-year-old boy. So it was getting tough being away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just kind of ready to do something local, and real estate's the most local thing that you can do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Have you always been with Compass? Did you start with them? You said you had your license already, and kind of take us through that.
Sure. So I actually got my start at Sotheby's in St. Louis at Dealman Sotheby's. And I pursued Sotheby's. I mean, they don't normally take new agents. That's the brand I wanted to be with. I loved the luxury, that timelessness of, in the tradition of Sotheby's. And I couldn't have asked for a better start. I had a great broker. He was so just informative and just, you know, really kept me on my toes. And then I had a business coach. His husband was actually my business coach. But really I get to learn from the best in St. Louis, just to be able to see how they service their clients. And it's just a different level of service that was just became my normal. And so I was just really excited that I got my start there.
Well, that's great.
And then, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're good. So I think, but I was with Sotheby's first. I actually was the rookie of the year, my first year in. And my first sale was May 2020. And then I left for Compass. I'll be with Compass for 3 years actually in July. So, but I think the two brands are similar in the fact that I love the luxury of both, but Compass just has the technology and the platform that makes real estate really easy.
Well, you know, I'm sure everybody has had their own experience with real estate. So tell me what makes you a little different from some of the other agents out there.
I think what really makes us refer. Do you want the referral? Sorry, do you want the referable part right now, or do you want a different question?
Just anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think when I first came into real estate, I was probably not as confident as I should have been. You know, I had a business background. I had owned a business for 15 years, and brick and mortar, and was used to having a team of people around me. And when I went into real estate, I don't really think that I took that experience. I was just not as confident as I should have been. And I think now I've really learned to take those skills that I use. I mean, when you start a career over at 42, you know, all of those skills come with you. And right. I don't think I really took advantage of that in the beginning. And now I'm really starting to lean into those skills, and I'm starting to get the real estate part down. And, you know, putting both of those things together, I think has made one, we run our team like a business, and it's definitely not a hobby. We're all full time, but I think that's probably the biggest factor is that, we run it just like we would a business.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because there are a lot of hobbyists out there in the real estate market, and you
yes,
feel
there are.
They don't run it like a business, and they just dabble at it, so to speak. So probably wasn't always just as smooth as just walking in and becoming rookie of the year. Tell us about some of the things you learned in the process.
I think that first year was definitely a make it or break it year for me, because I had lost my job. I was on a sales team selling events that weren't happening. And so I knew I needed to make about $100,000 that year. And I could see that in front of me, that it was a huge hill. I didn't really know where to start. I just got in and worked as hard as I could. I mean, some weekends I would work 2 open houses in a weekend. I was taking anything and everything that people would give me. I was just taking everything I could and really capitalizing on those open house leads. And really that's what my first year of business was, is just, you know, stuff that at Sotheby's that other agents didn't want. And then also just really working my open house leads. But that first year I sold $6 million in 6 months. And it was just really like drinking from a fire hose and just learning contracts. And I think that was probably the hardest part for me. And then also too, when you own a business, I think the one thing that probably made me different in the beginning is I was always on commission. When you own a business, you're always on commission. It was never like a guaranteed paycheck. You knew that if you wanted to make money, you had to work. And so that for me was never scary. And I feel like that's a big hurdle for a lot of people when they come into the business, is that full commission really scares them.
Right.
And for me, it was just very normal. So.
Yeah. Just was what you'd been doing.
Yep. For sure.
So was the upside better, or
yes,
back to owning your own business?
No, I would. I was in youth sports, and I loved youth sports, and I love the kids. I missed the coaching part of it, but I should have started real estate a lot earlier.
Yeah.
I should have. It's a great business, so it's a great business to be in.
Good. Well, that's fantastic. I've often thought that'd be a fun business, because you see so many different things. You're out in the market, you're talking to people, you're meeting people, you're helping people. Because
yes.
Real estate's a scary deal, especially
yes.
for first-time people that, you know, just don't know anything about it. My big question was, how much? So.
Well, and I think, right, and I think removing those surprises, that's one of the things that we really specialize in with buyers and first-time buyers. I teach a home buyers class with a lender partner. We do that, you know, once a month. But, you know, really we're trying to educate people and just make sure that there are no surprises. You know, we want them to be fully aware of everything that's going on. You know, if they're removing contingencies, we want them to know the risk and we want them to be aware of it. But we also want to let them know that we do this every day. And, you know, this is our job, is to protect you and protect your investment along the way. But I think that education component is so important. You know, even with everything going on in the marketplace right now with, you know, the new settlement, I think for us, we've always done the buyer's consult. We've always got the buyer's agency signed. You know, we've always done that piece because we want people to know, like, hey, here's what you're getting into. We don't ever want to get in a situation where they can't afford something. So.
Was that the attitude when you got in it, or was that the attitude when you came?
No. So I remember a very clear conversation with one of my mentors, and I remember my first year, I went from 0 deals to like 8 or 10 impending at one time. And I was in tears. I was just overwhelmed. And she said, "You are constantly playing defense." She said, "You have to learn to get on offense." And like, that was like a real game changer for me.
Okay.
Because now that's one of the things that we really think about is, you know, what are all the things that can come up and how can we avoid those? And what do our systems and processes look like? And we are definitely a systems and processes team. I mean, that is one thing that I feel like I really excel at. And we have a system and a process, and, you know, we want to make that every transaction is duplicatable and it is the same throughout the entire process, whether it's a buyer, a seller, you know, from the time that you get that lead until you until you get them into contract, there's a process. And from the time that they get into contract until they get keys is a process. And so, and then on the sell side, we have the same thing. So there's definitely a process for everything, but I think that has really taken a lot of that, that defense out, because we know what's going to come up.
Well, and if you don't know what to do next, you just look at the process, right?
Yep. And that's what makes it easy for us.
This is the next step.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what makes it easy for our agents too. So a lot of, there's actually a couple of the agents on my team that have had their license longer than I have, and they're excellent in sales. And I think that, you know, having that systems and processes though in place basically puts us into just, you know, we're just kind of coasting on that part. And then we can really focus on our clients, and it just helps us to be able to get more transactions in.
Yeah. But the worst thing is you got to sit down and say, all right, now what do we do?
Yep. For sure.
So what would you say was make it or break it moment for you in real estate?
I think there's been a couple. Definitely that first year, just having to make that income. And then coming to Compass for me was definitely, you know, the system and the platform that they have, I don't think anybody can fully grasp it until they're in it. But the way that I was able to go from a single agent to a team agent my first year in, my first year in Compass, I doubled my business. So that was amazing. So I went from that 6 million, I went straight into almost 12 million that first year at Compass. The next year, I was able to take that platform and really make that into an easier way for me to sell real estate so I could start a team. And so I started a team. I was able to keep my same volume. And then this year we had a stellar year, really, in a down market. And so I think that make it or break it moment for me has just been each year the market changes. And so for me, you know, it's just a learning experience every year. But you just have to know what, you know, you just have to get in and see what the market's doing, learn the rules, and then just know you're going to make it through it.
So what's an ideal prospect for you guys?
You know, I think we each on our team have a different client avatar, but that's one thing that I think we do really well is, you know, looking at our past sales, like, you know, I broke my sales down from last year. I had 40 transactions. 19 of those came from my sphere of influence or from past client referrals. And that is definitely not an accident. My next highest category was lender and agent referrals. And that also is not an accident. We truly have different revenue streams. And so we look at each one of these areas of where our clients come from, and we put attention into those areas. So like sphere of influence and past clients, we are constantly doing touch points. And a lot of the people that are, your sphere is basically people that are just like you, they're your friends, your family, they're people that you're with. But how can you reach those people and how can you touch those people? Most of them have similar interest. You know, I mean,
sure.
One of my passions is my kids. I mean, so I'm involved in the PTA. I help coach my daughters, you know, at her cheerleading group. You know, there's all those different things that you're involved with. You know, my son's involved in some things at the library. I actually teach classes at the local library. So all those things that I'm interested in, the people that are there are naturally gravitating towards me because we have the same interest. And so I think that really you're selling to people that are just like you. And if you look at each one of the agents on my team, each one of us has very different business and very different client avatars, but we really try to focus on what does that marketing look like to attract those people. And we know that we're not everybody's cup of tea. You know, there's certain people that want to work with me and certain people that don't, but I feel like the ones that do really love working with us, and the ones that don't, I mean, we just don't, you know, there's just somebody for everyone, I think.
So do they qualify you early or do you qualify them early?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think we're really realistic with people. I'm super honest. You know, I had a seller that in my sphere. She called me last week and she said, hey, I want to sell. We ran numbers and it's just not the right time. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And so I think knowing that there's a time and place for every transaction, I think for us, we don't want to waste our time. And we don't want to waste their time, you know, and like, especially in this market, it's hard to get an FHA buyer into contract. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's an easier conversation to say, hey, meet with this lender. Let's get your credit up 30 points so we can get you conventional so you can win. That's going to save me 4 weekends out showing houses and writing on offers, I know I'm not going to win.
Sure.
And so I think that really qualifying people for, you know, everybody wants a certain house, and but it has to, the timeline has to work. I mean, I think all pieces have to fall into place. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're successful. And that we really get to know their lifestyle. For buyers, like, I want to know what their lifestyle is. I want to know, you know, why they're buying a house. What are they, what does their night look like? Like, do they patio sit? Do they need a neighborhood? Do they want a pool for their kids? Like, do they want to be walking distance to something? And so I think learning what their home life looks like really helps me match their house to them.
Okay. So how do you gather that info? Do you do, is it a person-to-person kind of discussion?
Yep.
Or do you have forms or questionnaires or things like that? I'm interested in the understanding the process a little bit.
So I think the process for us is when we get a new lead, you know, we bring them in, whether it's a referral or client, just kind of, a lot of it depends on too how well we know them. But I think, you know, that first meeting, there's always a phone call, but then that first meeting is usually, it's coffee, it's a buyer's class, it's something that's in person that we can really have a good conversation.
Okay.
Like our buyer's consults are not like on the fly at a house that we're showing. I mean, that's not how we work. I mean, we really want to sit down with someone. We do have a seller questionnaire and a buyer questionnaire. Sometimes we send it out if the timing works, if they're in a hurry, but most of the time we kind of go through that buyer questionnaire in person. And then seller questionnaires are a little bit easier. You know, typically we have some sort of background with them. If we don't, then, you know, a visit to their house, asking all of those questions, I feel like is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds to me like this is heavy relational selling.
Yes.
But if I just looking from the outside, that you develop the relationship first and mm-hmm. then you deal with the minutiae, as it were, later.
That is so true. I think that is the easiest thing to do, is to start the relationship first. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it leads to a sale and sometimes it doesn't. But a lot of times, even if it doesn't lead to a sale, it'll lead to a referral. And so I think just, you know, putting the time in early can just make you that referable agent.
Okay. So since you are heavy referral, do you find that you're dealing with the same type of house or the same type of property?
So
that's both in configuration and price.
I do think that, you know, my first couple of years in, I was all over the board. I was selling, especially at Sotheby's, you know, and even at Compass with, because we deal in luxury. So, you know, I would sit open houses that were $1 million, you know, yeah. and I would get clients from those open houses. But then also too, like I'm taking anything I can get. So I'm also selling, you know, $150,000 investment properties and
right.
doing a rental. So I feel like my first couple of years, it was really all over the board. Now I feel like I'm pretty consistent, and I'm also a little pickier now with what I take, mainly just because of geographic location. Unless it's a referral, I'm not going to drive an hour. You know, currently I have properties, you know, an hour south, 30 minutes west, but those are people that have actually referred me. Like, I'm not going to take just a lead that's an hour, I mean, you know, and way south, because I, you know, those are just not the areas that I typically sell. I live west, I sell west, that's where our money's going to go as far as marketing. Now we sell all over, but it's, you know, as far as like where we put our money, we really believe in live, eat, work, play, like all in one location. And I heavily believe in micro farming. Micro farming for me is, I do have a couple farms, a couple neighborhoods that I really work with, and they're basically walking distance from my house. And so, but also I think that fits that piece of the pie. So, you know, it's the whole piece of the pie when you're micro farming. It's not postcards. I mean, our micro farming is not like postcards. I mean, it's porch drops, it's sponsoring local neighborhoods, it's being involved at the PTA, it's teaching at the local neighborhood, it's walking distance to my farms. So I think all of those in one area is kind of what leads to that geographic, you know, I guess it's more just geographically centric.
Again, it sounds to me like this is relational, and the relation starts with being known in the market.
For sure.
So when you're in the market, in the neighborhood, it's easy to get that going.
Yes. And we really capitalize, like if we have a listing in that neighborhood, you know, one of, or in, especially in one of the areas that we're really trying to focus on, we door knock, we hang door hangers, we do a neighbor open house. We follow up after the open house is over or after the sale, and we go back and we door hang again to let them know the outcome of the sale. You know, how many people came through, this is how interested, you know, the people were, this, how many offers we had. And I think that's important for neighbors to know, and they want to know what the value of their house is. And I think that's really important to make sure that you're sharing that. And so really just capitalizing when you do have a listing, our goal is three clients out of that listing. You know, how can we get three clients? Can we pick someone, you know, off of a sign? Can we get somebody from an open house to come in and talk to us? Can we talk to a seller? So I think those listings are gold. I mean, listings are gold in this market, of course, because, you know, inventory is so low, but for us, listings are gold too, because you get additional sales from the listings.
Okay. Yeah, that all makes sense. It makes such common sense that you don't even think about it. There's so many, again, we're back to the full-time versus the hobbyist market. And I think that makes such a difference. So what else? You figured out the process. You have a process. You follow the process, which is three pieces. People say they have a process and they developed it, but they never follow it because it's too much work. I would guess that following the process makes it easier. It's less work. There's things you have to do, but overall, it's easier. Would that be a fair statement?
I think it's seamless when you follow the process.
Okay.
I think when we skip steps, I mean, we're normal. We get busy. Sometimes things fall through the cracks. But I feel like when a transaction is seamless and clients are super happy and that communication's there and everything just went exactly the way it was supposed to, most of the time it was because we followed it to a T.
Okay.
And so I think that's the great part about it. But I think also too, being able to track that process, you know, we live in our CRM, and I feel like that's really one of the keys to our success is having that CRM and having that platform at Compass that we can use. And our CRM, we are in it every single day. We tag people, we record things, we are constantly looking for ways that we can reach out. I mean, there's no way that you can run a client gifting event program, public events, micro farming, you know, all of the things that we do. I mean, we do so much work in marketing. We're not the team that's going to go out there and send out a million postcards and put a couple ads in a paper or put an ad in. I mean, we might do some of those things, but like, that's not our bread and butter. Like, we are out there doing the work. We are hanging things on doors. We are having events, you know, getting in locally with, you know, hosting a bingo night, hosting a sip and shop. So anytime that we're doing any of those things, they're very strategic as far as where, one, where they're located, and two, who we're inviting. And our goal is to make sure that those top 100 in our CRM, that we are constantly in front of them.
Okay.
But to be able to do that, you have to be in your CRM and know your CRM. And then you also have to update it. And you have to be able to pull some sort of report that says, hey, we haven't seen this person or talked to this person in 3 months. They need to be in our next group. And then we start looking like, oh, we really need, we have this group here that we haven't really talked to, and they happen to all be in South City. Let's have an event there. Or, you know, everybody in the West is, these neighborhoods are so hot right now. We've got people that bought and sold there 3 years ago. Let's make sure that we're hosting an event there.
Right, right.
So, but if we can get in front of people, we usually do pretty well.
So one thing we didn't talk about, we talked a little bit about your team, but how many people are on the team? What's your team consist of?
So there's five of us total. Okay. And I think each of us kind of specialize in something different. Like I've got one of my agents is, she's an influencer. She's got a great investor background, and she's just really good on the investment side. I've got another one that's branding herself as a pet realtor, which is such a cool concept. But you know, she does all things pets. And so she's selling that.
You mean like property that's well designed or well accommodates variety of pets.
Variety of pets. Yep. And you know, there's so many people that have pets and people relate to that. So that's really good. Yeah. I mean, I feel like all of us kind of do our own things really well. We're just like more of like a mastermind. It's all women. It's a mastermind of women. My team's a little bit different. The people on my team, they keep their volume on the MLS. And so like, if you look them up, they'll have their own volume. We don't put our volume together on the MLS, okay, which is traditionally different. But you know, for me, I just feel like if someone's going to walk into a listing appointment, like I don't have buyer's agents and listing agents. I mean, we all do everything. And I feel like if one of us is going to walk into a listing appointment, the first thing that seller is going to do is look you up on Zillow, and you have to have some volume underneath your name. You've got to have transactions that can't just all be under my name. I mean, it's got to be, which is, yeah. So I think that's been, plus I feel like, you know, the upper list itself, I mean, we're elevating St. Louis real estate. I mean, that's our goal, is just to take that real estate transaction up a notch.
Okay. And it's all residential or pet residential,
right? We don't do commercial. One of my agents does dabble a little bit on the investment side. She may get into multifamilies, but as far as like true commercial, we don't do any commercial at all.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've talked for about 30 minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to share? How do people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
So the easiest way to get in touch with me, one, I'm on Instagram. So it's just my name, Angie Dunham on Instagram. I have no E on my name. The upper list at Compass, we're also on Instagram and Facebook. And, one thing that I just want to share is, you know, if you are new in real estate, especially if you're restarting your career, I mean, there's a place for you in real estate. Success looks different to every single person. And I think that's why real estate is so attractive to so many people, is they can kind of make it their own. And there's not really one definition of being successful in real estate. And, you know, taking that skill set that you have and that you've come with throughout your career and many careers, you know, and putting that into real estate and really treating it like a business, I feel like the opportunity, I mean, there's just unlimited potential in real estate. And I think that's what really attracts me to it. And that's what drives us and drives our team, is that unlimited potential. I mean, who would have ever thought that restarting a career, I mean, our fifth year in, I mean, we had, you know, our average sales price is 400. I mean, I feel like that is such a huge, you know, that's great for us, is that, you know, we're in those price points. And our team GCI last year, I was so proud of it, but on a down year, you know, we were close to 600,000 for team GCI. And like, there's no other avenue of business that you can get into and just have unlimited potential. So I just encourage everybody to just keep working and stick to it. And there's no seed that goes unsown.
Sure, that's true.
It doesn't grow in real estate. Yeah.
So did you guys, I know 2023 was a tough year for many. Did you guys make your objective? Did you meet your goals?
We were way over. So 2023 okay. Actually for me was my best year. Okay. I sold 18 million. So 18 million in 2023, 40 transactions. And then as a team, we did 61 transactions.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we made real trends, of course, and we were excited about that. But, you know, Compass as a whole, we're a smaller brokerage. We don't have a lot of agents, but the agents that are there, they all sell real estate and they're all full time. And it's just a really motivating place to be. You know, everybody there is serious about real estate. And I think we ended up like number five in the city with 90 agents. And so for us, that was huge. But it's definitely a collaboration on the team, collaboration at the office, and just a lot of good leadership.
So are you guys looking for new agents that don't have any experience, wanting to change path?
At Compass, it's a little bit different. You do have to have a minimum GCI to be able to come on as a principal agent.
Okay.
I know there are some teams that actually do bring on new agents. One of my agents was brand new last year. Really for us though, we're looking for people who have been to another brokerage. Like for me personally, for my team, I look for agents that have been at a different brokerage. They have a little bit of real estate experience or a lot of real estate experience, but the one thing that I can bring value to them is I can look at their sphere and tell them how to monetize it. And I can put together that marketing plan that's really going to monetize the things around them without spending a lot of money. And, you know, okay, with that marketing on a shoestring. And those are the people that I look for, the people that are looking for growth, that are looking for potential. They've got some real estate background, but they just don't really know that next step. And okay, when it's not busy, they don't know what to do. And so I think, you know, giving them those actionable items that they can really do that are going to make a difference and move the needle, I think is where, I think that's one of my strengths as a team lead. I will always say that, you know, I learn real estate every single day. I mean, I'm never going to say that I'm an expert in real estate because I mean, 5 years is just not enough to be an expert in real estate, but I do business really well. And so if I can learn the real estate as I'm going and continue with the business, I mean, it's just been a really good match.
Well, it sounds to me like you brought your own business expertise into the real estate market, and you're applying those disciplines of running your own business.
I think that's so important. And it's crazy because they don't even teach you that at real estate school.
I bet not.
Those are the things you need when you go to real estate school.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a real problem with title, you're going to call your title girl. You know, you're not going to.
That's right.
Right. I'm not going to rely on that 1 week I had of real estate school. I'm going to, you know, call the expert, or, you know, I'm going to make sure I have an attorney on hand. But, and I think that's the big thing, is just knowing that you don't know everything in real estate, but you've got to have those people that are around you that do. And just having that circle of people, whether it's, you know, contractors or real estate attorneys, you know, your brokers. I mean, my brokers are amazing. I mean, they're two of the smartest people I know. And so I think, you know, having that, those people that can back you up when you need it, allows me to be more confident in the marketplace.
Okay. All right. So that makes sense. It's not always about what you know, it's who you know.
Very true. That is so true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your time. It was great to talk to you, get to know a little more about the business. You know, we'd be glad to work with you in any way we can. So thanks very much.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate you. All right. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please be sure and subscribe to the Real Producers Partners podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We'd love for you to review us wherever you get your podcasts. Visit rppp.rocks for more episodes and links to set up a free consultation with the host of this podcast. Thanks again, and stay tuned.